So should we sing this song now or after the class? Sri Hari, what is your suggestion? No? Okay.
जदि के हरिपाद सरोज सुधा प्रसपान पर हृदय सतत जदि ते हरिपाद सरोज तुला प्रसपान पर हृदय सतत परिरीत गृहं कलि भावमयं भज बोद्रुमकानन कुञ्ज विधुं यदि ते हरिपाद धन जौवन जीवन राज्य सुख नहीं नीत मनोक्षण नाश परम जौवन जीवन राज्य सुखम नहीं नीत मनोक्षण नाश परम तज ब्रह्म कथा कथ ते हरिपाद सरोज सुधा रसपान परम हृदय सततम रमणी जन संग सुखं च सखे चरणे भयदं पुरुषार्थहरं रमणी जनसंग सुखं च सखे चरमे भयदं पुरुषार्थहरं हरि राम सुधारस मत्तमतिर्भज बोद्रुमकानन कुञ्ज विधुं Thank you.
পাওয়ার পরমহংস পরিব্রাজাচার্য অষ্ট সরস্বত শ্রী শ্রীমান অভয়চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণববৃন্দ শ্রী যায় শ্রী শ্রী রাধা রাধানাথ শ্রীমন মহাপ্রভু শ্রী যায় সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ শ্রী যায় গৌর প্রেমানন্দে অল গ্লোরি All glory to that single devotee. All glory to that single devotee. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Anjana Shalakaya. চক্ষুরুন্মীলিতং যেন তস্মৈ শ্রীগুরবে নমঃ শ্রীচৈতন্য মনোভীষ্টাং স্থাপিতং যেন ভূতলে স্বয়ং রূপ কদামহম দদাতি স্বপদাঙ্কিতং মুখং করোতি বাচালং পঙ্গুং লঙ্ঘয়তে গিরিং যৎকৃপা তমহং বন্দে শ্রীগুরুং দিনধারম্। হরে কৃষ্ণ। তো অফেন পিপল ইনকোয়ার ফ্রম আস ওয়াই উই ক্লেম দ্যাট আওয়ার প্যাথ ইজ দ্য বেস্ট প্যাথ। Actually, everyone thinks that his path is the best. And people generally tend to think that we are also claiming our path to be the best because we are following. But it's not actually, that's not the case. But when we analyze the scriptures, when we analyze the verdicts of different acharyas, then it becomes very clear. Jai Shri Shri Radha Radhana Sriman Mahaprabhu. Then it becomes very evident, very clear, that Krishna consciousness is the best spiritual path. It's not that we are following this path, that's why it's the best. But actually, because this is the best path, that's why you are following. If there was anything better than Krishna consciousness, then at least many of us would have accepted that. Isn't it? Especially when we consider the number of non-Indian participants that we have in Krishna consciousness movement. They did not become attached to Krishna consciousness because it is a Hindu thing or because it is an Indian thing or because they are born in this culture and so on and so forth. They have accepted this because while searching for spiritual life, they found that this is the best or this gives the highest spiritual understanding. Now, what is that highest spiritual understanding? Or how can we prove that it is not a false claim or it's not a sentimental claim of ours that Krishna consciousness is the best? So the proof is, nowhere else one can find such profound, sublime, and succinct understanding of the Supreme Personality of God as we find in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness gives us the most perfect understanding of the Supreme Personality of God. For us, God is not a myth. For us, God is not imagination. Or for us, God is not an abstract concept. For us, God is real. He is not only real, but He is the absolute reality, the absolute truth. He is more real than anything else. He is more real than the broad daylight. He is more real than the rising of the sun. The sun may stop to rise, the whole universe may dissolve, but still God will be there, Krishna will be there, and those who know Him will be with Him. In the Vedas, especially in the essence of the Vedas, in Srimad Bhagavatam and in Bhagavad Gita, the most clear understanding of God has been given. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has very clearly instructed Brahma at the beginning of creation. Krishna instructed this absolute knowledge to Brahma through four verses known as Chatushloki, or four verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Srimad Bhagavatam, which consists of 12 cantos and 18,000 verses, is actually originating from these four original verses. These four original verses of Srimad Bhagavatam expanded into 18,000.
Jo avashishyeta so asmiyaha.
Krishna is telling that aham evasham evagre, in the beginning of creation, or before creation, I existed. I was there before this creation. And whatever is manifested in this creation is nothing but my energy, or expansion of my energy. Nanna, Jag, Sat, Asat, Para. Sat and Asat. The cause and effect. Whatever is there, permanent and temporary, everything is actually a manifestation of this. And Paschadaham Jade Tatcha. After this universe is annihilated, what will remain is also me. So this is the basic understanding of God. God created before, God existed before creation. God is existing in everything in the creation. And after the creation is dissolved, or after annihilation, God will continue to exist. So this is the instruction that Krishna gave Himself about Himself. And this is the first verse of the Chatushloki, Bhagavatam. Then Krishna describes what is this material nature? Maya. He first described Himself and now He is describing about this material nature. What is this material nature? Describing material nature, Krishna is saying, Rite artham jat pratyeta na pratyeta chatman tad vidyad atmano maya jatha bhasho jatha kama. Rite artham jat pratyeta. Now what appears to be real but without any connection with me, that is maya. What is illusion? Illusion is what appears to be real but doesn't have any contact or connection with the Supreme Personality of God. So we can now consider, what is this material nature? This material nature is a so-called reality. It's a reality which is devoid of any connection or contact with the Supreme Personality of God. Rite means without. artham jat pratiyata. Pratiyata means appears to be. What appears to be real, but without the connection with the Supreme Personality of God. So that is material nature. But when this material nature becomes connected to God, then what happens? Then does it continue to exist as Maya? No. Then this material nature becomes spiritual. For example, if we take material elements and engage them in Krishna's service, then it is no more material, then it is spiritual. For example, we take food. We buy vegetables and grains and things from the market, food products from the market. Then we cook food. Apparently it's material. And then we make the offering to Krishna. And after we offer it to Krishna, then is it material? This offering of Krishna? It is spiritual. It's prasad. Why? Because now it has become connected to Krishna. As long as it was without the connection of Krishna, it was material. But as soon as it became connected to Krishna, then it became spiritual. Similarly, our existence also, as long as we are devoid of connection with Krishna, then we are in Maya. But as soon as we become connected to Krishna, then we become devotees. We become spiritualized. Now, what is the importance of becoming a devotee of Krishna? The importance of becoming a devotee of Krishna lies in our becoming connected to Krishna lies the real purpose of our existence, or the ultimate success of our existence, the ultimate fulfillment of our existence. When we are connected to Krishna, then we become joyful. And when we are separated from Krishna, then we are miserable. In this material nature, doesn't matter who he is. He may be rich or poor, he may be young or old, he may be healthy or strong or weak. Irrespective of his condition, if a person is not connected to Krishna, he is bound to be miserable. But as soon as he becomes connected to Krishna, then he becomes joyful. It's something like becoming situated in our real identity. We all are related to the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. Krishna is the creator, Krishna is the maintainer, and Krishna is the destroyer of everything. So that is the meaning of the Supreme Controller. The one who creates, one who maintains, and one who destroys. So everything in this material nature is maintained by Krishna in this way. And that Supreme Personality of Godhead is very close to us. We have a very intimate relationship with that Supreme Personality of God, Krishna. And when we are related to Krishna, then naturally we become joyful. But as soon as we become separated from Krishna, then we become miserable. It's something like a very rich man's son. If he is connected to his father, then automatically he enjoys with his father. He inherits the father's opulence. But that person, that son, if he separates from the father, then it becomes very difficult for him to maintain himself. And he continuously struggles. And that struggle is very, very painful. I personally know one individual He is the son of a very, very wealthy person. Very wealthy person. And the father actually offered him the family business, or to become part of the family business. Naturally, the father said, well, now you join the business. But he became, he wanted to show off. He wanted to show his father that he could do something better than him. So he thought that he'll become a very successful businessman. He'll make a lot of money. And he started on his own, and it was a very big struggle. Very big struggle for him, and even his family life became very badly affected, because his wife, who was actually married to him with the understanding that he was a rich man's son, so he will have give her a lot of comfort. But when she had to join him in his struggle, then she became very, very disappointed, and their family life also became very, very, very badly affected. And then the father died, and his brother completely cut him off from the family. And now he's absolutely poverty-stricken. So in a way, a living entity's condition is somewhat like that. He is the son of a very rich person. He is the son of the richest person, the Supreme Personality of God. But he wanted to show off. He thought that he will do it better than him. He will make it better than the Supreme Personality of God. So he wanted to become independent. He didn't want to become a part of it. He didn't want to enjoy, or he didn't want to share his father's glory. Instead, he wanted to become glorious himself. But what is the ultimate outcome? He just suffers and suffers and suffers. He becomes more and more miserable. But if that person goes back to the father and humbly submits himself, says, my dear father, I made a mistake. Like, now, I learnt a lesson, and I'm not going to separate myself from you. I'm not going to become separated from you. I'll become a part of your business. Then immediately, the Supreme Father, Krishna, accepts us. So Krishna consciousness is to become situated in that relationship with Krishna. Krishna consciousness gives us the understanding who Krishna is and what is our relationship with him and how we can become related to him. That is the sum and substance of Krishna consciousness. And when one becomes related to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then he naturally becomes joyful. A devotee does not have to look for enjoyment anywhere else. He has everything. Sometimes people ask, why you all are sadhus? Why you all are indulging in such luxuries? But the thing is that, yes, we are sadhus, but we are actually a very special type of sadhus. We are, or rather the devotees are, Krishna's representatives. Or devotees are the sons of the Supreme Personality of God. So although the devotee himself doesn't want anything, but the father provides. Unlike a materialistic person, devotee never claims, devotee never begs, devotee never asks anything. Whereas the materialistic people are always asking. They are actually the biggest beggars. Although they are so proud, but they are actually the biggest beggars. They are always begging, give me this, give me that. Always they are begging. But the devotees, they don't beg anything. They don't beg anything for themselves. Their mood is, I don't need anything, I have everything. I have enough food to eat. I have enough place to take rest. I have enough oxygen to breathe. So why should I care? And that is the attitude of a devotee. But because he is the dear son of a rich father, the father provides with everything he needs. Although the son maintains a very humble attitude, but the father provides. Just like a rich man's son, the son may not want anything for himself, but the father always cares for him. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, takes care of his devotee. Although devotee himself doesn't want anything. Another way to look at it is, the devotee situation is like that of an ambassador. What is a devotee? A devotee is an ambassador of Krishna. A devotee is carrying the message of the spiritual sky in this material nature. Now if some insignificant little countries, when they have their embassies, how opulently they set up their embassies and how they take care of their representatives in the embassy. I'm sure most of you must have seen. And they have the best houses and they take care of their people in the best possible way. And those embassies are actually that country in itself, in a foreign land. Like for example, the US embassy in South Africa is not actually part of South Africa. The US embassy in South Africa is a part of the United States. Similarly, the embassies of Krishna, that means the temples, are actually a part of the spiritual sky, although they are situated in the material nature. This temple is not material, it is spiritual. It is Krishna's embassy. And everything here is spiritual. Just like if you go to the US embassy, most of you will see that they carry the water from the United States. They have those big plastic containers of water. They turn them upside down and you have them, the taps. You press the button and the water comes up. At least in India they have it like that. Clearly they don't trust Indian water. So even the water is in America. Everything there is American. So if the United States Embassy can be that American, then why can't Krishna's embassy be spiritual? So in this temple, everything actually is spiritual. And whenever someone comes to this temple, gets a glimpse of the spiritual sky. And those who are acting on behalf of Krishna in his embassy, Krishna takes care of him in the best possible way. Therefore, although devotees don't want anything for themselves, but Krishna provides for them in the best possible way. And we can see that the devotees don't have any scarcity. Actually, devotees have so much that they can feed the whole world, provided the world is willing to eat vegetarian prasad. The devotees are empowered by Krishna, and they have the ability to turn this world into spiritual sky, provided the rest of the world cooperates with them. But unfortunately, the rest of the world is revolting against them. Unfortunately, there is so much opposition to Krishna consciousness today. But even though the opposition is there, the devotees don't care about that because they know that ultimately Krishna will win. Because Krishna is the supreme powerful, and those who are siding with Krishna will ultimately become victorious. So the important thing is not to give up our siding with Krishna. Not to give up Krishna's side. And always remain with Krishna. If we do that, then our life will become successful ultimately. Sometimes we feel a lack of faith. Sometimes we feel that our determination is wavering. But these are actually the effects of mind, due to the effects of mind, the influence of the material nature. The material nature tries to dissuade us. Material nature tries to dissuade us from our Krishna consciousness. But these are actually Maya's tests. Maya is putting this difficult test in front of us, in one hand to check us out, how convinced we have become about Krishna consciousness and how determined we are in our Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, when we pass this test, then our conviction becomes stronger. Maya puts us in these difficulties, but when we, through these difficulties, our faith is tested. And when we pass this test, our faith becomes stronger. Because as we pass, along with that comes the reward. Krishna rewards us. He rewards us with different gifts. Because as we make advancement, Krishna rewards us from within. From within we feel a greater joy of Krishna consciousness. The more we cross the hurdles of Maya, stronger becomes our faith, and stronger our faith becomes, more bliss or more spiritual joy and ecstasy we experience. Hare Krishna. So I'll just take a few questions. Quite a few, actually. So, Maharaj, I have two questions. If Krishna exists in every atom, why would we consider this not to be connected to Krishna? Yes. There is two ways of being connected. One is a physical closeness and the other is spiritual awareness. Now someone may be very close to Krishna, but if he is not aware of Krishna, then is he really close to Krishna? No. So Krishna is in every atom. Krishna is in the heart of every living entity. But unless and until the living entity becomes aware of Krishna's presence there, he doesn't derive any benefit out of it. Krishna is there, but a living entity is not aware of it. Therefore, the living entity does not derive the benefit of being so close to Krishna. Living entity does not derive the benefit of being in connection with Krishna. And that is called ignorance. Krishna is there. Krishna is actually closer to us than our own self. That is how close he is to us. But because we are covered by ignorance, we don't get to know that he is there. Hypothetically or theoretically, we get to know that Krishna is there, but unless and until we ourselves become aware of it, aware of the fact, we don't get the proper benefit. Regarding that, Prabhupada also gave another example, the closeness. He used to say that A bed bug is very close to you. It sleeps in the same bed with you. But is the bug close to you? Do you feel close to him? No, because the bug always just disturbs you. It sucks your blood. So the physical closeness is not important. What is important is the internal intimacy. And someone may be very far away from you, but he may be very close to you in your heart. So physical closeness is not important. Of course, Krishna is physically close at the same time. He's spiritually also close to us, but we have to develop our relationship with him. Sometimes, when I look at the deities or think of Radha Krishna, I feel a soft emotion. I'm not an advanced devotee, so I chastise myself. Don't pretend. I say, how can I know whether such feelings are just mundane material feelings or whether it is a sign that I am getting attached to the deity? Well, if you, any connection, any feeling concerning Krishna is good. If you feel some emotion about Krishna, that's very good. Try to harbor that emotion. But make sure that it is not just a sentimental thing. And try to be guided by advanced devotees, especially try to accept the spiritual master and be guided by him. Because Krishna, although we may feel very close to Krishna, but we may not Jaya Shri Shri Radha Radha Na Shriman Mahaprabhu. Although Krishna is very close to us, he is sitting in our heart, but when we want to approach him, then we must make that approach through a bona fide spiritual master, through a devotee of Krishna. So, the feelings that you are getting, try to nurture that feeling and try to develop that attachment. Rupa Goswami gives the final instruction, that is, always remember Krishna and never forget. That is the ultimate instruction. Always remember Krishna and never forget. And also it is said, jena tena prakarena mana Krishna nivesha. Jena tena prakarena means by any means. By any means try to fix your mind on Krishna. So if you have some, if you are experiencing certain emotions towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's a very good sign. That's a very good sign. And try to further that feeling. Next one is, please explain why snakes are persecuted so. The immediate reaction of many people when they see a snake is to kill it. Also explain the reactions to snake killing. Somehow this activity and attitude seems incongruous when related to the statement that learned sage sees all living entities with equal vision. Yeah. Snakes are dangerous creatures. And Snakes are very vile in their nature also. They're actually the personification of meanness. Kruda means very mean. And the snakes are also very envious. It's due to their actually different living entities get different types of bodies because of their nature, because of their inner state of consciousness. Now snakes are very envious, and that's why they got a body like this. They don't have any hands and feet. They just move on their chest and belly. And they are full of poison. And when the bites come on, it's very dangerous. Of course, there are some snakes that are non-poisonous. Therefore, it is in order to protect, or rather, in order to protect others, it is said that snakes and scorpions can be killed. And in a way, being killed, they actually make advancement. Like they are, after all, they are freed from this miserable existence of being in a snake's body. But of course, a sadhu, a saintly person, he is equal, his vision is equal. So, he may not kill a snake. He may see a snake and a cow on the same platform. Because, you know, he attained the state of equilibrium of his vision. But the devotees are not exactly in that platform. That is more of a platform of a Mayavadi or a Brahmavadi. But the devotees are in a platform of spiritual duality. They have a consideration of good and bad, and they act accordingly also. For example, in Mayapur we have a Gurukul. Little children they are there in the school. They stay in the ashram. And in Mayapur there are many snakes.